Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Miss, Joe Pizzapia. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend, got some time off, maybe potentially had some social distancing burgers, social distancing hot dogs, anything good
the social distance burger. You got to run in and try it today. Come to the drive-thru.
Don't come near the barbecue. Stay over there.
Stay way over there. You got that poker. You got poke'em with the.
Was there an Italian Memorial Day weekend for you? Did you make some Italian food this weekend?
Well, it's funny. Usually a Memorial. I told you we do the big three. Usually we do Memorial Day, Labor Day, and July 4th here. Right. And I do usually typically when we have everybody over, family, friends, all the people, I do the pizzas on the grill, which is nice. So I get up in the morning, I make all the dough from scratch, and then we got everything from your standard pizzas, then I'll do like a sausage and peppers pizza. I'll send you a photo of me. It's going to look pretty damn good. And then we'll do like maybe a buffalo chicken, things like that. So no Joey wearing the apron, throwing the dough back and forth yesterday. I'm hoping July 4th we get that back. That's what I'd like to do. It's a good time. Yeah. Well, here's the fun thing. You could do the pizza. It's a cheap alternative out there too when people are, have big groups of people and you got to do all the steaks and everything also. What you do is you get the dough, you go out there, you do some dough, you make a couple pizzas, you just keep banging them out, make half a dozen pizzas, right? And I got the two grills going. I got more than one grill. Very important stuff here. It's a big deal stuff going on. And then that's kind of like the appetizer. So when people come over at 2, you have that. Everybody's eating, having a couple drinks. Everyone has a couple slices of pizza. Then there's no pressure. You can go and enjoy yourself for a couple hours at the barbecue so you don't feel like you're standing there forever. And then 5:30, you start throwing the burgers and the dogs on. That's the pizza via house barbecue scenario. You're welcome to join.
Sounds like a good one.
I know you're a pizza guy. You didn't get your pizza, did you?
I did not, but I did get to go to my storage unit.
No.
I did.
Great fish. You're just sharing this with me an hour or two? It's taken you this long to?
I did. I had on over there for some gems.
And how was it for you?
It was good. Found a few things. It's just a mess over there, honestly.
Did a box come back with you?
Couple.
Oh, a few boxes. Did your
wife
allow a box?
Couple things that I brought there a few years ago that I'm like, these should not be in storage. I think they should be in our house.
So, there you go.
Nothing earth-shattering, I would say. Nothing.
Your wife was okay with the boxes in the house?
Yeah, I put them in the garage.
Stink eye? Okay.
Yeah, I put them in the garage. Yeah, it was a simple process, but it was good to dig through my old stuff that I hadn't seen in a long time. So it kept me busy for a day.
Well, that's good. We want to keep you busy. That's for sure.
On the weekend. All right. So let's take a look at some player props for 2020. And FanDuel just put these out so we can take a look at them. And again, these are all very much subject to change. So many things can happen, specifically with the Bengals. I mean, AJ Green could play with them. He could not play with them. Some of this could be affected. So keep in mind as we review these things, you can bet them at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But also keep in mind there are still 5 months to go until we start the season. So tread lightly, I would say, over or under. I mean, Joe Burrow, God forbid, is running down the street and trips over a turtle and hurts his knee. I mean, you and the guy doesn't have a good year. You made a stupid bet. So just keep this in mind. All right, so let's take a look at what FanDuel has for Joe Burrow's individual passing yards for 2020. They've listed his total at 3,800.5. Of course, a half, they don't want to push. That's why it's a half, minus 112. High juice on this, too. Come on, FanDuel, you can make these 110. Under 3,800 is also -112. And for some context here, these are the three players as rookies that have had higher than 3,800 yards. No one had more than 3,800 outside of these three. Andrew Luck in 2012 had 4,374. That's the record. Cam Newton the year before had the record for 4,051. And then Jameis Winston put together a 4,000-yard season in 2015 of 4,042. And we stop here because no one even had 3,900. This is it. It's these three guys and then throwing Burrow into the mix here. So essentially, Joe, if Burrow was able to throw for more than 3,800 yards this year, he'd have the fourth most yards in the history of the NFL for a rookie. Does he go over this total?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question because you're looking at the trend, and I was actually going back and looking at the previous trends before that when you get to the Peyton Manning groups and the guys like you. Even Matt Ryan didn't reach that 4,000 level. I mean, this is rarefied air, but it's also more indicative of where we are right now in the NFL. And that is it's just a fact. It's a passer's game. It's more wide open. The rules are just allowing more of this. You can't be up on the wide receivers now. There's just so many things that allow for this to happen. And the other thing you need for this to happen, too, is some garbage time. You need to have a situation where your defense is not great, where you're going to be relevant in games, and you're not sitting on leads. And that's the other thing.
You'll probably count on that.
I think you can count on that, too. And that's why I'm actually leaning towards the over here. I think this is achievable. I had a big discussion actually with Mike Tagliere, Fantasy Pros, who's about as good as it gets, in my opinion, as a fantasy football analyst. And he's contributing to the Black Book this year. And we were talking about Burrow and his expectations for him. And he actually thinks he can finish as a QB1. And I agree with him as a low end QB1 this year. I think he has that opportunity because of that defense having to keep them in games. Not to mention the fact that he's got a lot of weapons there between Mixon, a healthy A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd.
Well, let's stop there because you just mentioned the possibility of two players not playing for the Bengals this year.
It's probably, but I mean, let's say...
There's a chance of that. Legitimate chance of that.
There is a legitimate chance, but right now it's what we have to go on. So we have to kind of go through.
What do we have to go on that both are going to play?
Well, I mean, A.J. Green right now is going to play.
Say that.
Right now, it looks like A.J. Green's going to play. Right now, as we're sitting here today, I think this is a good opportunity actually for him. And look, I think sitting out a whole year, he's kind of put himself in a tricky situation in terms of his value on the open market for numerous reasons. So right now, I'm going to say that he is a Bengal and he will play for the Bengals. Again, things can change.
I would say that it's at best a 50% shot that both.
Well, then you know, let's next man up is what? T. Higgins, right? Who was a pretty darn good wide receiver in his own right in college. So he's going to have some. No, he's going to have some players. No comparison to A.J. Green, but not a bad wide receiver either.
And no running back. Does that help him or hurt him?
Well, Joe Mixon, as long as depending on whatever holdout situation, Joe Mixon, I think personally, I think the holdout would hurt Joe Burrow because you want to have a balanced offense. You don't want everybody being able to drop back and, you know, give Joe Burrow coverages that, you know, he might not be aware of or have seen before. You know, it's a different game in the NFL. As good as the SEC football level is, it's outstanding. It's better than some maybe very low NFL at times. But at the same time, it is the NFL. And I think 38 is very achievable, actually, especially when you're looking at these guys, 12, 11, 15. So that's three quarterbacks in the last 10 years to do that. Now, who are the best other rookie quarterbacks coming out? We'd have to go back and look at each one individually. I mean, if you look at a team like Russell Wilson, when he came up with the Seahawks, there's a guy that was on a very good defensive team. So numbers would be suppressed a little bit. You could also look
at Kyler Murray last year.
Kyler Murray last year. But Kyler Murray is more of he's not the pure pocket passing quarterback that I would say a guy like Andrew Luck is, or a guy like Joe Burrow is, or even a guy like Winston is for that matter. So Ben I think Darnold? This is a pretty good number. Josh Allen's not a pure pocket passer.
I would go under this number.
I can understand. I think over is achievable. I think the over is achievable because that defense.
It's achievable, but that's not something that you recommend to bet.
I'll put it to you this way. If AJ Green plays, I think with the Bengals this year, and I actually think the Eagles.
I think everything has to go right for this number, and that's not a wise wager. Sure. If everything has to go right, I think that if the guy misses one game, he's going under two.
Most of the wagering community will agree with you, and I think that's almost what they want. They want you to set up that most astute people will say he can't be as good as he was in college, and he's not going to throw 62 touchdowns.
It's very hard to believe that Joe Burrow that you could have blind faith in a guy who had one good year in college. I just can't do that.
And that's totally fair. And I think most people will be with you, and that's why I actually want to go the other way, because I do think most smart people will kind of take that stance right away. It just can't happen. And I don't know if it
– Oh, I don't know that it can or it can't, but I just – you know, if everything broke right, this guy throws for 3,900 yards this year. And mm-hmm. if one thing happens that's off, it goes under. And I think that that's –
This next one's a fun one too. I like this next one.
Yeah, I mean, Wentz every year I just go over on him. I don't know. I really like
He's
this
very
guy.
Underrated. You know, here's a fun fact from the Black Book. You want to hear Carson Wentz stat? He threw a touchdown in every single game all 16 weeks last year. Lamar Jackson didn't do that. Patrick Mahomes didn't do that. Sean Watson didn't do that. Dak Prescott didn't do that. Just a fun fact for those of you. And again, I do the quarterback write-up, so I'm just kind of bringing the Black Book knowledge for you today. That is something to really understand and think about there.
It may take a year or two for him to be good, but I mean, I think he'll be a star eventually in the NFL.
I think Miles Sanders' emergence last year in the second half is really helpful. I think it's unfortunate the way his season ended. But this number is, 3,899.
So yeah, you're right. I mean, he went over last year. I don't see why he wouldn't this year. I guess you worry about injury with him. You worry about injury.
Well, that's what you're betting on. You're betting on the health. But, I mean, the concussion was in the playoff game at the very end of the year.
He had weird injuries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first one was a knee injury, was it not?
I think that he's been unlucky with that. I also think outside of Ertz, he hasn't really had anybody super reliable, although Jeffrey's been okay. I can't knock the guy. I mean, he's been a good receiver. For
Look, it's been time. Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. I mean, that's who you're throwing the ball to, basically, if you're the Eagles.
Did they find any free agents also, or that were just they're just rolling with the same two guys?
I'll check on the depth chart, but I know they're still rolling with Alshon Jeffrey. So that's, and you're taking a huge risk there because.
See, that's a good spot for AJ Green. I'd move him over there.
Well, I mean, I think you'd love to have him go over there. But I think it's very different when you're talking about, a guy who's very limited in terms of what he's got. And he's already continuously kind of going over these numbers. I think that's very impressive. I think Carson Wentz kind of gets lost in a shuffle. Wide receivers right now is Alshon Jeffrey. Still DeSean Jackson is on that roster. Marquise Goodwin. I knew there was another signing there.
I like Marquise Goodwin. I don't know.
Marquise Goodwin, Greg Ward Jr., and of course.
Oh, I like Greg Ward. I like Greg Ward. Yeah, I like the guys they have.
J.R. Sega-Whiteside, who they drafted last year. That's the depth chart right now.
But I like Ward. I like Rieger. And
I think this is an over.
I think he goes over. Yeah.
I think you're 100% right. I think this is doing that same thing where they're tempting the negativity of the astute sports fans as well. He's hurt all the time. I don't know if he is hurt all the time. Sean Watson tore his ACL a couple weeks in between him and Carson Wentz, right? Let's not forget that. And nobody kind of.
Yeah, but I'm ruling Jackson out of the conversation at this point. It's he's been playing long enough with not playing at a high level last few years. I don't disagree with you, but I think
Wentz can do enough in this offense to get 4,000 yards. He's a very consistent quarterback and probably one of the most underrated guys. And if you're in a super flex league this year, I would strongly recommend targeting him because I think you can get him as your QB2 and you can have him with an elite quarterback. And all of a sudden you can just run the table with those guys.
All right, coming up next, we'll look at some player props for a couple of running backs in the NFL and their total amount of yards for 2020. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia. We got you every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Sports Grid and sportsgrid.com. However you're watching, we appreciate it. We're back with more right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today as we wait for all sports to get back on so we can log into the FanDuel Sportsbook for those people that it's actually legal to place wagers on. Otherwise, you got to wait, I think, until 2021. But, Joe, I have a pretty strong feeling that between FanDuel and DraftKings and a lot of the other online wagering mobile places that 2021 we're going to see a massive jump, not just 15 or 20 states. I think we could be looking at double that.
It's quite an evolution since 2015, right? Remember the whole argument of daily fantasy sports? Well, it's a game of skill, and it is. It's also a game of wagering. And now, like, that pivot has been, well, we're clearly a wagering house now that also does fantasy sports. You know, it's so funny to me how 5 years' time, how things can evolve and change. But I'm with you. Look, fantasy is how we watch the games. Wagering's been around forever. It's not going anywhere. It's only growing in this country. And you look at how it is here where I am in New Jersey, and I get to do the show from the FanDuel Sportsbook every Sunday up until recently. That was, you know, I mean, that place during football season was buzzing, man. There was a line to get in outside, 9 a.m., people waiting for doors to open, crazy stuff out there. And, you know, again, it's during football season, but still, I mean, that is – it's just a part of the game, and I think it's being more understood and accepted, and I think that that's a good thing, that it's not in the shadows anymore, and why shouldn't we make tax revenues and things like that off of it?
I think you'll be back in the FanDuel Sportsbook before you know it.
I hope so. It's fun to do those shows.
I don't think June, but I think July. I think you'll be back this summer at some point. That would be a guess.
Yes. Let's
hope. A guess, by the way, for me. No one run over the FanDuel Sportsbook and tell them I sent you.
No, don't run over there. Don't. In fact, if I'm there, I don't want you to be there. You stay home and you watch from home. You don't need to come see me in live. It's not that exciting.
All right, so we hit on a couple quarterbacks. We'll do some more tomorrow. Let's move over to the running back position in fantasy. And this is, you know, by the way, betting props on FanDuel, player props right now. You can go over to the FanDuel Sportsbook and place these bets as we speak. This is a player prop for 2020, Alvin Kamara of the New Orleans Saints, who faded a little bit last year, but still they've put a nice fat total on him for 2020, assuming health. And the over-under is 1549. That is the number that we're looking at. Of course, as I previously mentioned, the 0.5 is because FanDuel's not interested in any pushes for whatever reason, which I'm not really sure why. Why not take a push? You get money on both sides, but okay, that's not my business. Minus 112 are the odds, and for context, he had 1,360 yards last year, Joe, and as we know, he missed some time with injury. So he plays two more games. He goes over this total. There's no doubt about that. He's one of the most dynamic players in the game. There's also no doubt about that as well. But do you have concerns with a player coming off a little bit of a banged-up season? Because you have to ask yourself this question. Is that a trend that's going to carry over into the future, or was it just simply put a little bit of a blip on Kamara's resume?
You know, this is a tough one because the Carson Wentz one we just talked about in the last segment, it was all injury related, and that injury doesn't really freak me out. I mean, I think he's kind of getting a bad rap, to be honest with you. It's magnified because when he got hurt, they went and won a Super Bowl without him. So I think it just, right, it kind of hurts on a different level because of that, and it's a little bit more relevant because of that. This one's trickier. Now, he did this in his first two seasons. He went over this number easily, this total. Last year, not so much. Last year, also the first year, we didn't have Mark Ingram around with him. And that kind of begs the question, is it's not a question of how good the Saints are going to be. They're going to score a ton of points no matter what. I don't think that's anyone's concern. It's a matter of, you know, it's him and it's Latavius Murray. Those are the two guys there. Murray was there last year and had some admirable moments when he wasn't able to go. And Kamara's health is the one that I'm a little bit skittish about. He's a guy that I am less apt to draft early. I see a lot of people wanting to reach for him in the middle of the first, and to me, he's more of a later in the first guy. I want to be able to back that up, and part of that is the injury concern. Like, I can't have Alvin Kamara as a first round pick missing a couple games. That really hurts you when you're making a playoff rush and running a fantasy football league. So if I'm tying that to this number, I think this is an under for me because, you know, body type, the amount of usage, all of those things, maybe the injury from last year makes them want to limit the usage a little bit more. Maybe you do see a little bit more Latavius Murray. I don't know where you're at with Alvin Kamara. I think he's fun to watch. He's a terrific player, but at the same time, his best work came when he was the two in the 1-2 punch.
Lean toward the under. It wouldn't shock me to see him go over, but my fear is it's like that 3-year running back in the NFL. After that, do I really feel that the shelf life is going to continue and continue at a high level? It usually does not. And we'll have to ask ourselves that about, Christian McCaffrey, who we're going to talk about next in 2 years. But look, it's speed that is more or less his game. He's not really an inside runner. But the thing with Kamara is he'll crush you, and he'll crush this total with a few 50-yard receptions for touchdowns. I mean, that could very well happen. But I probably would pass on it, but I would think that there's a stronger chance that something could potentially happen to him and he could go under the total. The Saints have never any shortage of usage of other running backs, other receivers. And it's just be a lean for me on that.
And they're going to be, and they're going to, you would imagine, have a lot of leads and a lot of games too. And I don't know how well that really plays into this total. I mean, I think the Saints always get into a couple shootouts every year. That's just the Saints. But you add in the injury, you add in how good I think the Saints roster is. I think you're right. I think this is, you know, he's been in the league for 3 years. This is going to be year number four. His best 2 years were when you had somebody else kind of carrying the load and he was that other guy. And it was a menace trying to, when those two guys were going back and forth. I mean, it was very difficult. I mean, when's the last time you had two guys on the same team finish as an RB1 in fantasy? That's not happened very often. Two guys go over 1,000. I mean, that's just crazy. So to have that in this 1,500 number, I don't know. For me, Craig, I think this is an under. And I think this is actually not a stay away. I think you can actually go at this one and attack it pretty hard. And it's not a knock on Kamara's talent. It's just a knock on the situation more than anything. And he has not proven yet that he can handle being the number one running back by himself as the guy. Wow, he's got the backfield to himself quite yet. So I don't see how we can just automatically think everything goes back to how it was when Mark Ingram was there. Well, Latavius Murray is not Mark Ingram. And Mark Ingram never got enough credit, in my opinion. So that's where I'm at.
Taysom Hill could get more opportunities as well. So they want to keep him around. They've made that clear.
There's so many options of other guys to touch the football there, too. It's very difficult. And again, it seems like I'm being negative about the player Alvin Kamara is, and I'm not. He's a terrific talent. I would feel better, especially in the middle of a first round fantasy draft, taking guys like Devontae Adams and Julio Jones. And I see a lot of people wanting to take Alvin Kamara there. And I just don't see.
Well, I mean, go back, look at the first round and the second round of NFL drafts this year in fantasy, and how many of them were playing at a high level at running back 3 years ago. Probably two. You know, I mean, they just don't last in the NFL. 3 years, I think it's very reasonable. Four is a possibility. Five? Who? What running backs playing 5 years in the NFL?
First round guys right now.
Le'Veon Bell, that's
running
it.
Backs. Yeah, but he's nowhere near the first round. But yeah, I mean, he was a couple years there.
Okay.
I mean, your first round running backs right now are McCaffrey. Ezekiel Elliott's the only one that comes to mind.
That's one for sure.
That's one. So it's Elliott.
This is his fifth.
Yep. You have Elliott. You have Barkley. You have Christian McCaffrey. You have Dalvin Cook in that conversation. Alvin Kamara in that conversation. But no, in terms of first round investment, I would much rather go with a Julio Jones in the middle where Michael Thomas or whoever else wide receiver wise makes it. Because then you're looking at the second round where there's lots of interesting guys like Kenyon Drake slipping in drafts and all these other guys where I think running back wise, you can be all right. It's actually a deep running back pool this year.
All right, let's take a look at our other running back total of the day. We'll hit on Christian McCaffrey, who last couple of years has carried teams to championships. That's for sure. All you really need is him. 2,049. That's his total. Total yards in the odds are -112 to win 100. Same. 2,049. That's the number. If you're wondering what his number was last year, 2,392. We entered the season last year with the head coach of the Panthers, Ron Rivera, saying that we're going to give him a lot less volume. We got a lot more. So, I mean, again, one thing that you can't look, this guy is the whole team. Is Matt Rhule going to drive him into the ground, literally, like, which is what happened last year with the Panthers? He was involved, especially late in the year when Kyle Allen could do nothing. It was just dumping off to McCaffrey every single play. So he is the whole team, essentially. I mean, they do have an emerging wide receiver for sure. They'll have better quarterback play for sure. Their defense is going to be all young kids. So I think the Panthers, if they're not the worst team in the NFC, you're going to be near the bottom. And they're going to be forced in a position to use him quite a bit. And, I mean, I probably could see him going over again. But that's not good news for McCaffrey, honestly, for his future. But probably he is going to go over 2,000. I could see it.
You know what? I'm going to take the under on this one. I just think it's a lot to ask. You're not wrong. I mean, everything you're saying in terms of usage, everything. I mean, the only difference is there is a different coach now. So that's the only other thing here.
Yeah, don't know the answer.
We don't know the answer. And I think the unknown makes me want to go with the under just because of that. I think you talk about the usage and all this and how well has it gone for the Panthers last couple of years.
Well, with Newton, there's no choice. I mean, they had no choice last year.
No, they didn't. And I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is not Cam Newton. I think we could all agree with that.
No, but he's probably better than what Allen was.
He's absolutely better than Kyle Allen. And if you think he's better than Kyle Allen, then you got to imagine maybe, look, it's very difficult because if you bet against McCaffrey last year, you got screwed. Okay. So I feel like everybody has that knowledge that's just sitting there in the back of their head, go, well, you know, I got burned last year because I didn't believe in McCaffrey. I got to buy in now. And I don't know if you do. I think there's too much of a track record of, like you're saying, running backs.
Does he need the first pick in every fantasy draft?
He is. And rightfully so. It's him. It's Saquon.
But you'd take him first, right?
I think there's a real argument for Saquon based on the workload of McCaffrey last year, too. I mean, I just worry about how many years you can do this and do what he's doing and take the pounding that he's taking right now. I have no problem taking CMC first. I haven't had any first picks yet. Right. But I'll tell you what.
Really, to be able to answer that.
I'd be very happy to have number two this year. I'd rather not have to make that decision. I'd rather Christian McCaffrey be off the board and then happily take Saquon Barkley, because I think when you saw when he was healthy again at the end of last year, you saw how good Saquon Barkley is and how all-world he is. And if you want to go safe and you don't want to take that risk of Barkley because you're worried, then you take Ezekiel Elliott. You know exactly what you're getting there. I mean, you just move along.
Is he the third overall pick?
Or it's Michael Thomas, depending on
which. Michael Thomas is probably
the best. And that's why I kept saying Michael Thomas is a guy that's not getting enough credit for potentially MVP. I'm going to go under the 2,000 yards. I think something's got to break here a little bit. I hope it's not McCaffrey that breaks. But I just think you can't be so one-dimensional and have success in the NFL. And I think eventually it's just going to start to wear a little bit. And it's just smart to keep him under this number, as fun as it is for fantasy. He's still gonna have a great year, but I'm gonna go under 2,000. How about you?
All right, well, I'll probably lean toward the over, but neither of these really move me all that much. I probably like Burrow of the four that we went. Burrow the most with the under there. I think that was probably the.
I like Kamara the most of the four we did. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I like Carson Wentz the over the most. Like, I think Carson Wentz just doesn't get enough credit.
All right, we'll be back with more fantasy sports today right here on Sports Grid. Thanks you guys so much for watching. We're back right after this. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And welcome back. Craig and Joe here with you. Hopefully your Tuesday morning is going well. Don't forget, a little bit later on today, you're going to be able to catch Scott Farrell live coast to coast on Sports Grid. And also, of course, Scott's now on radio. A lot of his shows are being simulcast on terrestrial radio as well. So make sure you stay tuned to that. Joe, we'll be back here again for another edition of FST tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, so people can catch us then. One thing that's really interesting as far as the dynamic of this show, and I think a lot of other shows, is years from now, I think we'll look back. I was thinking about this today. When we go back and we look at old YouTube videos and sports videos and, you know, things that just live on the internet, this time period will never be forgotten because people will be wearing masks. And I think that that's, you know, something that's going to just live forever. Like, we're going through a historic time, essentially, not just in sports, but in the world as well. And 3-4 years down the line, when things are essentially back to normal and there's a vaccine for this virus, that we'll always remember that period of time, because you'll go to a YouTube clip, you'll see somebody wearing a mask. And for younger kids, you'll have to explain to them, like, hey, here's what happened. We were all inside. Mm-hmm. But I think that from our perspective with broadcasting, what's changed is I think a lot of networks will realize just how much easier it can be to broadcast from home, where a lot of people are doing theirs from. Now, for me, since we started up here on Sports Grid, I have been doing my television from my own house in the studio garage that I built a few years ago, because I did my radio show for many years from my house. In fact, I did my satellite radio show, I believe, for 7 years inside my house. And 5 years ago, I built a studio to basically, you know, with soundproofing and all that, to house that. And I think that that's one thing for me that I know that other networks are going to look at and say, huh, like, I wonder if it does pay for us to continue to allow this to happen. Now, I don't think that everyone is going to feel that way. I think that most people want to be in the same studio, especially some of the debate shows. You kind of have to have that person right next to you to get that feel of it. But to me, that's one thing that I think that after the pandemic ends, whether it's a month or 6 months, I think that's something that we'll take from this, and I think that that will continue. And I believe that there's a lot of other things that we do even in our daily life that are going to continue even outside of this when this is over.
Yeah, I think when this is over, I would like to think that people are going to, you know, keep washing their hands, you know, just as a general note, because I feel like that, I don't know about you, I don't want to get all like Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I feel like that was probably something that didn't go very well for a lot of people in the last, I don't know, generation or so. Like, I hope everybody takes that more seriously and just maybe some more personal awareness and hygiene and personal space to a certain extent. I mean, so many people already were doing online grocery shopping and online this and online that. But I'm also hoping that when all this is done, we come back to a place where we actually appreciate being in a space with one another a little bit more and not taking that for granted as much. I'm hoping the opposite doesn't happen, where people become so reclusive because everything can be from home and things like that, and people don't go out as much. I'm hoping that we have the alternate, which is when we go out and we are a little bit more respectful of everyone when we're out, which would be nice, and remembering they're all human beings. I feel like every 20 years in this country, we get a check. You know, we got a check after 9/11, and then everything kind of falls back, and then we're kind of getting a check right now. I don't know how it feels like it's already falling back already, which is crazy. But just generally speaking, out for a walk in my neighborhood, I told you, you know, people would normally keep to themselves. Now everyone's like, hey, how are you? What's going on? How are you? You know, everyone's super friendly. Look, hey, look at us. We're still alive. Awesome. That's nice. I do think you're right that a lot more shows will continue to be broadcast from home regardless, because, look, space is expensive. Space is difficult to find.
And technology has to be right.
I mean, it does.
Let's say that first. I mean,
technology has to be right. But yeah. I mean, you know, I think we've done a really good job on this network of getting that right. If you look at the NFL draft coverage we did a few weeks ago on Sports Grid, I think that was
a month ago.
That was a month ago. Yeah, if you can imagine that. But I do think you're going to have a lot of that where people will continue to broadcast from home or do a lot of those things from home studios. And there's nothing wrong with that. I wonder too, Craig, you know, the one thing with a lot of these companies starting to move to, like, say, Twitter, most of their workforce, about all their workforce moving at home. What happens to commercial real estate in this country? We already see a lot of shopping malls and big stores are closing up. I heard, you know, like the Lord and Taylor's and JCPenney's of the world and all those things are all in my area, and all the malls, because New Jersey's got a lot of malls. Yeah. All of those closing, that's going to change a lot, because I don't know what, if anything, goes into those kind of buildings someday.
Yeah, I think that shopping is a major, major hit, because I think that what this has shown is essentially, it's not knocking any real retailer, but we essentially can make it without going to a store.
Right.
So this has not helped those situations. Now, internationally, people coming to this country, they love the malls here. So there's always going to be that attraction for people to go to a mall. And kids, of course, you know, like going and doing those things. But I don't ever think, I think malls are essentially a thing of the past. I don't think that they're a wave of the future. And from a commercial point of view, yes. The housing is also really interesting to me, too. Because I think eventually I will move into a new house. I think eventually we will look to do that. I don't know when. But that dynamic is also curious to me, too, because the conversation is pretty simple here in Florida, which is, yeah, right now we probably could get in at a really good price somewhere and move and live in that house of our dreams, let's just say, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But then could we sell our own house, you know? Because we're, that's somebody else is going to get an unbelievable deal on a house that we bought here. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another equation as to, I don't know the preparation and how I will be prepared when this is over to, you know, sort of figure that out. The one thing that you mentioned that was interesting a few weeks ago was that you took up a new hobby, essentially, in playing that game that you were talking about, Animal Crossing.
Well, I just found out this weekend a bunch of my friends from New York, or some of my my friends in the entertainment industry, are also playing this game. And that is the funniest thing. So now
here's where I'm going with this.
Things like that. So yeah,
Here's where I'm going with this. If it's over tomorrow, and I've thought about this, the things that I'm doing now in my daily routine, what I will do when this is over. Mm-hmm. What have I made now part of my routine that will continue? And so I would ask you that to start off with. Do you think in a month from now that let's hypothetically say 1 month for, what are we in, May 25th?
We're in May. So I'm hoping this show is in there. That's number one. I like that.
Besides the show.
That's number one on the list. I'd like to keep doing the show.
I have a pretty good feeling based on my conversations with Sports Grid that the show is going on. So
the show's going on.
Without giving away too much on that.
It's me being on the show. That's
you being on the show. I get the good indication that will go on too. But
it's a good question. I think the thing is, I think as a single parent, sometimes you get kind of in that cycle where you forget to kind of take time for yourself and do stuff for yourself. And no matter what that is, if it's playing a stupid video game, if it's, you know, in the summertime, I always try, you know, like in the evenings, try to go do some laps in the pool and just kind of like veg out a little bit there and kind of space out. I think it's reminding to hit pause. I think we all get so wrapped up when you have kids. You know, it's like you have kids, they have activities, you got school, you've got your work stuff, your wife has her thing, you have families, you have all, you know, surrounding families. I think you get caught up in it. I think the biggest lesson that I've learned is I've always tried to do this, but I don't think I really did it as well as right now, is just hitting pause. I mean, we're in a cycle where it's just what happened on Twitter today, what happened on this, what's going on. I think hitting pause is healthy. I think also us all not running a million miles an hour and running our kids a million miles an hour. That's not something I like.
Don't you think we're past that now, though, at this point?
I'm not, because I was never for it in the first place. So I think what this is, it shows you, like,
I mean, I've hit the pause, but I'm ready to get back to normal.
I'm ready to get back, but I'm also ready also not to get back at the cost of doing the things I did. Like, I'll give you, for instance, over the weekend, my kids and I told you I took on this outdoor project with them. I would never have done that. We would never have time. You know what we've been doing this weekend? This weekend would have been dance recital weekend. You know what hell that is, Craig Mish? Do you? Do you know the hell of dance recital weekend? 10 a.m. show, the 2 o'clock show, and then the 6 o'clock show? Do you know that hell? I don't know if you do, Craig Mish. That was nice. You know what we did instead?
I know all that.
Instead, we were doing this outdoor project. We were re-netting around the area downstairs. We have all these nice things out there. We repainted everything. And that never would have happened. And it's like,
So that was a really good speech for about 3 minutes, but you never really answered the question.
I told you, hitting pause. That's what I wanted.
Okay, so do you think that you'll continue to do things like play Animal Crossing? That's outside
Hold on.
Yeah, okay. That's outside of your comfort zone. That's outside of your box.
I'm going to try.
You picked up something during this time that you have made I don't know the extent of it, but let's say a limited hobby. Only started playing it now. You probably, I'm going to guess, I don't want to put words in your mouth, I'm going to guess you would not be playing this as much if life was normal. So that. And then the other things that you mentioned, which are really important from a family perspective. Mm-hmm. And you can add that to the conversation as well. Do you think that those will continue in, let's call it, a month or two from now?
I'm cautiously optimistic they will. They will through the summertime. It's when we go back to school and what that looks like. And then you get back and you fall into the old patterns. I'm going to do my best to hold some of them true because I think it's healthy. But I'm scared, Craig. I'm scared because I know when you get on that hamster wheel what it's like, especially the hamster wheel of the fall. Because what's the hamster wheel of the fall for us? It's NFL. And that is a huge wheel.
Yeah, but it's really easy, though, I think.
Well, it's easy in the sense of
doing what we do now is difficult. Doing what we do in football is
easier in that sense. But I'm talking about the volume of doing it. Like I'll do this show with you, then I will do I'll do several Black Book podcasts a week. I'll do the DFS show three times a week. There's all these other things that go on in football season on top of the TV show, hopefully on top of all these other things, where it's a 7-day work week basically. And then in the middle of that is when the baseball book starts prep. In October. So, for me, that cycle of the fall gets real busy. And I think that pause is good. Pause is healthy for everybody. Things will get done. Things will happen. And I don't think we need to put as much pressure on ourselves. That's what I want to take away from this. I mean, what are you going to take with you from this? I'm curious. Is there something for you that you're saying?
I don't think that I will take a lot of daily routines and looking through my old things and being,
well, that's going to be gone.
Scouring my house, cleaning that up, watching old videos, old baseball games. Like I don't think I'm taking any of it. Think I'm doing what I'm doing in a way to get by this. In general, listen, it doesn't take anything away with what you're saying, but for me, I'm at a point career-wise and in life-wise where yes, there are definitely times, and my daughter is a singer, and my son's now. Because
I want a balance between the two. That's all. I feel like we lose our balance. That's for me personally. Like I want all that stuff. I want to go.
I want to save people's lives by staying home.
Yeah.
But as soon as I would know that is, and I don't feel that it is legitimately safe to go back to doing everything normally, even though they're
everything normally now.
Even though they're sort of allowing it, even here in Florida, I still am going to take a lot of precautions too, because again, I have parents that are still with me, fortunately, and my wife's parents too, and I have to be careful for them too. It's not about saving me, it's about saving them. All right, we'll come back and wrap things up right here on Fantasy Sports Today in just a couple of minutes. Craig and Joe right here with you. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe here with you for the next 15 or so minutes. We're right back here tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. And some of the fun things that we've been doing is taking a look at old games that we've talked about, games that I've covered media credential-wise. Joe has gone through some of his favorite seasons in baseball and football and even basketball as well. We've touched on it here. I mentioned over the weekend I made my first trip to my old storage unit, which is an actual very nice facility. I did pay up for it to have it like under what they would call temperature-controlled. So all the stuff stays in really good condition. And I did find just a few gems that I brought back home. So if you want, we'll just take a quick look at those, and then we'll get to some NFL news.
Okay? I love gems. I love the memorabilia gems. Let's do
it. I don't think this is a gem. For some reason, I did not open this up. I'm not sure why. But this is...
Whoa, look at that.
There you go. This is gems. A figure of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Like a little figure of...
Not sure how much it looks like him. I love when the face looks nothing like a person. That's okay. But is there anything better than when you got like a figurine or a bobblehead that looks nothing like the player?
Speaking of which, so I got that.
That's the.
So best. I got that. I found this. I looked it up. It's not really worth anything, but it was easy to carry. So I grabbed it. And this is really hard to see. So I'll put this close to the lights.
Not I see justice. Crawford.
Okay, there you go.
Carl Crawford.
Yeah, Carl Crawford. Okay. Yeah, it's a. It's in the. I should have taken it out for the show.
You should have. That was
it's
bad
a
job,
mini
Mike.
Carl Crawford bobblehead from the Rays, Devil Rays, I think.
Nice. I liked Carl Crawford. He was a more Carl Crawfords. Can we get more guys like
this
that?
My days living in Sarasota, St. Pete area. And then this, speaking of which, I found this. I don't know what happened to the edges. I think maybe I used to have a mouse. I think it may have eaten through it or something. I'm not really sure. But this is the first ever game for the Rays.
Ah, okay.
The Devil Rays. And this is actually not a credential. I don't know. I think that I was forced to be in the studio for their first game. I did not go to the Rays' first game. But somehow I have their ticket for their
inaugural. Whoa, look at that. Yeah. That is cool right there.
I think I was mad about that, actually. I think I was mad as a broadcaster.
It sounds like something you would be mad about.
Yeah, I think they sent like the news crew or something, and I had to stay back and do the highlights. I remember that. But I have the ticket. Maybe I was there. I don't think I was, though. But anyway, that's what I found. I found a lot more stuff in the
Go. I can tell you right now, after spending all this time with you this month about your credentials, if you were there, you would have remembered. Your memories are very vivid of all these things. I can tell you right now, if you were there, your initial reaction of being pissed off not being there, probably far more likely than you being there and forgetting.
I think the story is that I did not go and I was upset. And they sent somebody in news because they did a whole broadcast from there for the first ever game. And then I was back. I was like the one guy back in the studio.
You were the schlub doing the
sport. I think I went to the second game, but I did not go to the first.
Do you remember who pitched in the opening Rays game? Is that
Wilson Alvarez, maybe?
Oh, Wilson Alvarez.
Not sure. That's my guess. Wilson Alvarez.
Hmm.
Yeah. Do you have these?
Oh, yeah. I did, sure. I think I sold them years ago. Had the Garbage Pail Kids. I definitely had those.
Look at this. I found this, too. I found this. Found a lot of these.
I mean, the storage unit of Craig Mish. Look at that. Lou Ferrigno, ladies and gentlemen.
Old cards?
That is a weird one. You are a collector. That's definitely...
Here's one. Here's something else I found,
It would be
too.
Great if it was a hologram. But if Lou Ferrigno was a hologram and he turned into Bruce Banner when you moved him, that would be great. That'd be tremendous.
And then I found like one 5x7 card. It's like not in great condition, but like they were like stuffed in boxes. I'm starting to figure out what's what. This too. This is a
Mark McGwire.
A McGwire like 5x7 card of him hitting 50 home runs 3 years in a row.
Well, it's swole like McGwire was. It's huge. It's like, oh, I can't have a regular ballot card. I need a 5x7. Mark McGwire rookie card 5x7. That's right. To get all those home runs there. That's what I'm looking for.
That was what I had in the storage unit.
Do you think when that show drops, because wasn't that coming a couple weeks, right? That 98 show about the home run race. Do you think when that's over, there is going to be a softening or sort of a, I don't know, remembering too fondly, we all look back and go, oh, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't judge these guys so hard. Or maybe, do you think that's going to happen, or do you think it's going to be worse?
Maybe a little, but I think it's anecdotal. I think that it would depend on the individual. That's anecdotal. It would depend on the individual player. Sosa may be looked more fondly of. McGwire may be looked more fondly of. I don't care what happens with A-Rod. He is not going to get in the Hall of Fame on the first try. I don't think that will change at all. There's a really good movie that if you haven't seen it on Netflix.
Oh, I've seen it. I know what you're talking about, though. Okay. The one about the Miami drug rape.
I understand that A-Rod has completely changed his persona and is extremely well-liked now. Mm-hmm. But that comes from a position where it was not always the case with him.
Oh.
And the things and the lengths that he went through to try and avoid being caught or being punished were just insane. Mm-hmm. And he's going to pay a price for that. Do I think A-Rod will get in the Hall of Fame? Yes.
What was the name of that special? I can't remember the name of it. Something
It was Billy Corbin's movie.
But what was the name of the movie about that whole thing with the guy who ran the anti-aging clinic and all that? Was it called Fastball? Something like
Screwball.
That. Screwball. I knew it was something ball. That's all I remember. That was a wild – that was like almost
– great.
It felt like you were like watching like a Coen Brothers movie or something. I was like this
Billy
can't
Corbin,
be true.
He's been on my podcast before. He's done great documentaries. Mm-hmm. He did the U documentary.
The U documentary
at the University of Miami. He also did Cocaine Cowboys. Did you ever see that?
No. Which one's that?
It was about the cocaine in Colombia, the cartel.
No, did not see that one. No, but I did see the one with A-Rod, and that one. The Screwball was definitely something that was...
Whew. It's on Netflix right now.
Yeah, go check it out, folks. By the way, speaking really of Netflix things, did you check out the Battered Bastards of Baseball yet? Because I think you would enjoy that.
I have done none of the above.
All right, I've watched nothing. Before we go back to having sports, and you have no time anymore...
That I will commit to.
I want you to check it out, because I think you're the kind of baseball fan that would kind of look back on that and think it's, you know, with fond memories of, what a fun period of time that must have been, kind of the deal. Very unique set of circumstances with that team being an independent team and, you know, trying to kind of just pave their own way. And again, Kurt Russell does a great job there. It was his dad who was running the team. And it's funny, in this wake of sports, I feel like sports documentaries have kind of kept us whole.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Listen, there's no question. You mentioned earlier in the show, we illustrated it with some of the baseball cards last week, too. We'll do that again this week with cards and which ones are going up. And it's just been crazy. But there's no question that the Maguire-Sosa documentary is going to have somewhat of effect on
their merch.
And it's going to be fun for us as broadcasters because the same sort of thing is going to happen like it happened with Michael Jordan. Not to that extent, okay? That was a 10-part documentary. But I think the next day you'll start hearing from people who were involved in the game and home run hitters. We'll talk, you know, Barry Bonds, there's more awareness for him. The other players that we're starting to see more awareness of, Canseco, Bo Jackson, a lot of players from that era are going to make a comeback, I think, from the league.
Well, I found the Bo Jackson card right after the show. It was in that book. I knew it was in that book.
What kind of condition was it in?
Pretty good, I would say. I mean, it's not graded, so I guess that. But my sense is that by the time I sent it out to get graded and came back, the market would be dead. So I might as well just hold on to it and remember it wistfully. And I think I keep the baseball cards because to me, again, it's not what they're worth to other people. It's what they're worth to me. It's the memories of the childhood of collecting.
Well, for sure, but there's also, listen, if you can make money off something.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not making.
If you had a card in there, Joe, and I was a miracle worth $10,000, you'd be sending that thing to get graded.
I can pay my Verizon wireless bill with this Bo Jackson card. Oh, like, who cares?
Listen, Griffey in particular.
Kind of Griffey stuff.
So many years ago, I got rid of a lot of my collection. Probably bad timing. I should have done it now. But I still have enough now to make a few bucks. But back in, like, I would say, like, 5 years ago, 6 years, I'm just like, oh, it's like enough already with these cards. They're just never going to be worth anything. I've had these for so long. But 10 years ago, when they first started grading cards, I bought a couple of Griffeys graded 10. And those have gone up 10 times what I paid. And I'm not selling those. I'm keeping those.
Well, I got some Griffeys here for you. But, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like I feel like it goes in these weird waves. And if you're not catching the wave at the right time, it's like the stock market, but far worse.
It is. But you can get involved in it because it's not a lot of money. You know, you can buy a card for $5. If it goes to 10, you feel like you did something right.
So here we go. We've got, I don't know what your favorite Griffey is. Is your favorite Griffey?
Mean? There's only one favorite.
Griffey Fleer, 89? I thought there's multiple Griffeys.
But 89 Upper Deck.
Griffey Rated Rookie Donruss. I always love the Rated Rookies and the Super Rookies. They do it again now.
You know that? Rated Rookie.
I love that. And then remember the little trophy in the corner of the Topps one, the All-Rookie team?
That
was huge. Yes. Make that All-Rookie team. Or future stars like Greg Jeffries. That's another... One there, out there it is. That's the one you're looking for.
That's the one, man.
That's the one. The little hologram. It's all Upper Deck did that little stupid hologram, and somehow that was supposed to just change our world. Like, that was it. You had to go, look, it's on the back. Why? Who cares? Why is that a thing? I don't know.
The hologram was huge.
I remember, you know what?
In fact, the Sports Grid, every show we have has a hologram.
If you want to go, you know what? You've said it yourself. We're in a weird place right now. I think you're going to force me to go and get some goofy stuff out of the closet. And tomorrow's show is going to be a goof fest of you and me doing this. And I know you're pushing for this. And I feel like if I get in trouble, I'm blaming you. I just want you to know.
Brett calls me and says, stop doing that. I asked Joe Ranieri to do it for a month. He never did it. Brett will tell
you. I have even, like, you know, those miniature baseball cards. Do you remember those? They were miniature ones.
Of course,
I don't know if I can get anything past you. I don't know, but I've got some goofy stuff. I remember I still have some of those weird hologram ones.
Cards will be hard to get past me because I was a collector in the 80s.
So. You know, but you remember, like, you had, like, Don Mattingly actually swinging the bat if you turned it? You remember those cards?
I love that. Probably so.
That was incredible.
Maybe you'll get me with something that I don't have. I mean, it's possible.
I'm going to try to stump Craig Mish with something. I don't know if it's possible. Right. We'll find out.
Look, Odd Todd. That's what it's all about. Odd Todd. Literally, people collected these things. I don't know why I have this one. I did not collect Garbage Pail Kids.
Garbage Pail Kids was my youth. I want to say like first grade. Rampant.
It was an early 90s thing.
No. It was a mid-80s thing. It was huge in Brooklyn in the 80s. I was still in PS 236. Shout out to Brooklyn PS 236. Garbage Pail Kids. Ferocious trading of Garbage Pail Kids. I don't know why. Right. They're gross.
Well, we'll get to that on tomorrow's show. Thanks to everybody who watched. Thank you to Brett. Thank you to Danny. Thank you to Ryan for putting the show together today. We'll be back here for another edition tomorrow for my co-host Joe Pizzapia. I'm Craig Mish. Don't forget, on Twitter, you can follow us at JoePizzapia17, at Craig Mish, at SportsGrid. Do you have something from your past that you would like us to feature on this show? We are not adverse to it. It is a content creation time.
Be careful about what you're digging up from your past. That's all I'm going
to
tell people.
Send it to us. We'll put it on this show. Not tomorrow, but maybe another day. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.